What a great statement. He reigns. King of kings, the Lord of lords. Interesting thought. I was thinking that last night watching that wedding service, that all the pomp and ceremony to do with the royal family. Whether you're a monarchist or a republican here this morning, I'm not trying to make any kind of political or ideological statement with any of this. But we've got to get ahead around the fact that the kingdom of God is a kingdom. And there's a king who reigns in that kingdom. His name's Jesus. And not every monarchy on planet Earth, in fact, very few of them, probably reflect well the nature of the kingdom of heaven. But that being said, the grandeur and the splendor that is part of what we see as the royal family in the United Kingdom, at least, is awe-inspiring. I was looking at the vaulted ceilings of that cathedral last night during that ceremony, and we've seen them in Europe ourselves. And it doesn't matter what we might think about where church buildings like that have ended up and what they're currently used for and so forth. Got to understand they were built to the glory of God. Most of them have got a stone or some description on them saying this was erected in such and such a period of time to the glory of God. And there are monuments across Europe to this day that are built to the glory of God. They declare that somebody thought it was worth spending their whole life building a building that gave glory to God. And that alone, for me, is enough to bring tears to my eyes. We worship a God who deserves our absolute praise and worship, adoration. So when we sing songs like we just did, what other king would lay down his life? Oh man, it's just such a beautiful thought that God is so good like that. So let me pray as we come around the word of God this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Pray, Lord, that we'd never lose sight of what it is that you've done for us. Never lose sight of the fact that across planet Earth, we can sometimes feel a little bit alone as Christians. Lord, a little bit misunderstood and marginalized in certainly the Western world that we live in. Yeah, Lord, there are hundreds of millions of Christ followers on planet Earth. And Father, I pray that incidents like yesterday, scenarios, situations would continue to come where amazing declarations of the love of God are just shouted out over the whole earth. We look forward to the day, Lord, that Jesus comes back. That will be a pomp and ceremony moment like no other. And so, Lord, we pray today that by your Spirit, you'd minister into each of our lives, that we'd be inspired and encouraged, Lord, with our place in your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. You may be seated. Just tap your neighbor and say, this is going to be good. And you guys can have a seat. I might get you back later. This is going to be good. I do love getting into the Word of God. Heard it be said, I might have said it here just recently, that sometimes we feel like one of the things we do is we study the Bible. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is the Bible studies us. I found that whenever I read the Bible, there's nearly always a reaction on the inside of here or here about something to do with what I'm thinking, doing, or a part of. And the Bible is this amazing word, God's word, that has the capacity to adjust things. And so my prayer this morning is that this short message will adjust things, that God will have access to your heart, to your life, to adjust things. We're in the middle of a series called Seeing Ourselves with Sober Judgment. And I've always read that as a particular verse from Romans chapter 12, where it's a bit like not thinking more highly of yourself, and a quite me-orientated perspective of that. And I found as I was preparing this message today that I was drawn to be a little more inquisitive about the context in which that verse appears. And so we're in Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you. So this is Paul writing to a bunch of believers, people who have already received Christ, who are already on the journey of being a Christ follower. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each one of you. Now, we've already had a message Pastor John preached out of this a couple of weeks ago. We're not going to focus specifically on that verse, although it's in the background. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And so I began to meditate on and contemplate the context of seeing myself in sober judgment as not the context of Bruce Williams, individual, fitting into my own family, and in my case, my workplace is also this church, but if I was working in a non-church job, I would see myself in sober judgment in my work environment, or at school, or at university. And that's okay, because I think the scripture is big enough to go, it encompasses that. But this scripture is looking at it in a back to front to me, as I thought about it, a back to front way of looking at this, where I'm no longer the focus of attention. So rather think of yourself with sober judgment could be looked at from the context of within the community of faith, which is what I want to talk to you about this morning. So, what is this? What am I trying to get to? So, getting a clear picture of ourselves from the view of being found in Christ is life-changing. Getting a clear picture of myself in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, they are a brand new creation. And I sometimes feel like the potential for us to confuse that brand new creation with a finished work. In other words, when I become a Christian, I've arrived at a particular destination. Well, in that sense of the word, at salvation, you've gone from dark into light. There's no doubt about there's a destination that you've arrived in. But I thought about the rest of the creation that we live in, and everything is changing. Everything is moving from one thing to the next. Some things are actually decaying, but other things are still growing. Some things are still improving with age, like a good red wine. Some of us are improving with age, but not all of us. Some of us are getting grumpy and other things with the occurrence of age. And I found that I was challenged to think about this, that the term of life-changing is used in the sense of ongoing change. And I've talked about this over coffee with regards to a few more words I want to talk about this morning. Our English language does not help us always get a head around what's intended in Scripture. There's lots of contexts in Scripture where something is declared that we could read as this is going to happen, and when it does happen, it's the event, and it's like the lead up to and then the event. But in the Greek text and in other languages around the world, there is a lot easier with regards to the words that are used to determine that the statement's actually about an ongoing work. So if anyone's in Christ, they're a brand new creation, is not a finished product statement. It's a statement about it's a new thing, but the new thing is now going to keep becoming the new thing. There's a sense in which there's this ongoing change. I'd want to make this statement, and you might not agree with this, but this popped into my head. There's only one thing in creation that is finished, and that is the power of sin and death. Jesus himself said, it is finished. Power of sin and death's finished. Nothing else is finished. Everything else is still happening. Jesus coming back, still happening. The judgment day, in that sense, the day of reckoning is the day of the Lord is still coming. Whatever that day is and whatever it looks like, that day still, there's a whole lot of stuff that's got to happen. And one of the problems we have is we've been brought up in this 20th century and 21st century Western world mindset that is very based in it's all about me. It's very based in me having rights. It's very based in me becoming educated. It's about me fitting into situations and me having choices. And so I can choose what I do and what I don't do. And I found myself contemplating that problem for us in church community and what we bring to that if we don't actually get past where this chapter starts, which I didn't read, But Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now that scripture precedes the bit that I read just a moment ago, which is all posited in the view that this is about us. Say us. Okay, so sober-mindedness is Paul's actually addressing you and me to consider ourselves soberly in the context of us. Not so much soberly in the context of me. Me considering me, like don't think of myself more highly than I think I should. So I can have an inflated view of my musical ability. I can play the keyboard and I can play all sorts of stuff on that, but I can tell you I haven't practiced for about 5 years. If I got on the keyboard right now, it would be horrible. But in my head, I'm probably thinking I'd be doing okay. I'm a little elevated, probably a little over-enthusiastic about my skill. It's not talking about that. It's not talking about having only. It's talking about that and me and you having a sober perspective of just how important this is. This community of faith, representing at the moment you gathered in this particular church this morning, but it could be any church anywhere, of any shape, size, colour, denomination, whatever. I'm talking about a local community of faith. What matters to God is this. Consider yourselves in sober judgment in the context of where I fit in this church as we are today. And so, and I use that little phrase very deliberately, because oftentimes we, just to give you an indication of what I'm trying to say here, we can sometimes say things like this: I don't feel like I fit. I'm not sure where I fit in the church. I'm not sure whether I should stay here or come here, or whether I should do that. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the pattern of this world. It's actually a mindset that is all about me valuing my ability to choose. And that is a whopping great big freedom that I appreciate, and I'm not saying is wrong, but it's not the only way to view our life. Its problem is that it doesn't value us. It values me first and then us second. And I think Paul is saying the pattern of the world is putting self first and everybody else second. And the pattern of the kingdom is putting everybody else first and putting yourself last. He who wants to become first shall be last, Jesus said. The pattern of Jesus' kingdom is to put ourselves in second, third, fourth, or 150th place so that the community of faith can flourish, so that it can grow and prosper. I was watching my grandsons play with some Lego last night. And it dawned on me as an example of what I want to say this morning, that if you build a wall with Lego, just a whole bunch of blocks together, you've actually got to destroy the wall to get one that's in the middle out of the pack. You can't get the block that's in the middle out without damaging or interrupting all the others. It's a great analogy of understanding, yes, I've got the choice and the freedom to choose lots of things. I won't do this. I might ask, as a pastor, I might ask you to do something at church. And you can exercise your right to say, I don't want to do that. Problem with that thinking is, A, you can make that choice, no problem there. But the problem is we oftentimes make that decision without considering me saying no, I'm going to destroy the wall. I'm going to wreck something around me. I can't have that choice and not have an impact on the people around me. So when people uproot themselves and leave from a family, for example, I'm walking out on the marriage. Now, I don't want to make a statement about the wrongs and rights and the whos and the thous. It's like, I don't want to complicate the analogy. What I'm trying to say is this: whenever we're in a context where there's community together, it's never possible to be an individual who makes an individual choice without fallout or ramifications for the community. And Paul's saying, rather than fight that, consider yourself in sober judgment. Get a handle on it. Understand that you do fit. Don't ask the question, where do I fit? Understand you do fit. Open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verse 18. This is unbelievable. Because sometimes we feel like, well, I'm here this morning because I chose to come. And you probably did. But what if the Bible's true? What if the Bible actually is to be read and understood that it's actually true? Because it says in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but in fact, say but first of all. Okay, so the Bible's having a but moment. It's got a statement of rebuttal, which is where that word comes from. There's a rebuttal to some other previous comment, but it's saying, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body. Say, that's me.
That's me.
Say it again, that's me.
That's me.
Every one of them, say, that's me.
That's me.
I look around this room, young, old, different sizes, different coloured hair, different coloured eyes, different size feet. Every one of us. Let me find my spot. But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body. Say, that's me.
That's me.
Every one of them, say, that's me.
That's me.
Just as we wanted to be. Doesn't say that. That is the pattern of this world. I only do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and who I want to do it with. That's called freedom. But that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So when I decide I'm going to choose, I better be thinking long and hard about the repercussions of my choice. And I want to say to you this morning as an encouragement that we can choose to look at this first and us second. It's probably not quite as clear cut as that, and I don't want to make it too simplistic. I don't want to make it to sound simplistic, but it is an adjustment to the way we view things. That I've got a view that the community of faith is paramount, and for Jesus it was. He didn't say, I'm going to make Bruce Williams a multi-millionaire. He didn't say, I'm going to make Bruce Williams a great pastor. He didn't say anything, I'm going to make this, that, or the other. Jesus said a long time ago, I will build my church. Yeah. That's it. So what matters to him is the church. And last time I looked at the church, it was us, not me. It was us, not you. It's like he's building his church. Is this making sense to anybody, or am I off on a tangent somewhere? It's like he wants us to understand that the us together is what matters to him. And I think we sadly at times underestimate how important that is to God, because we have been so well indoctrinated with our choices, and we do choose. We live in a very affluent, peaceful country where we can choose to have ketchup, tomato sauce, mustard. We don't eat broccoli. We don't like Brussels sprouts. I'll eat steak, but I won't eat chicken. I don't touch meat. I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat this. I don't do that. I don't touch this. I don't consume that, whatever. One thing that does bug me is when you sit down at the meal table and somebody at the table says, I don't like that. I don't eat that. I'm thinking, let's just move to a country where there is no food on the table for a little while. Let's just see whether that changes the tune about what you will or won't eat. My point is this. We can miss the point that our context is so blessed and our choice freedom is so big that we lose the kingdom. We become entrenched in the pattern of this world. And the Bible says, what? Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. It's not a suggestion. It's not like, if you choose to, brothers and sisters, just don't conform. No, it's an imperative. It's an exhortation. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Is this helping somebody besides Pastor Bruce? Because I'm getting something out of this. So don't ever say this to me in church. Where do I fit? If you haven't asked God that question, don't ask me that question. Where do I fit? You fit where he's put you. And sometimes that means you get fitted where you don't want to get fitted. Is that such a word? You get put where you don't want to get put. And sometimes, and Paul goes on to explain in 1 Corinthians 12, you know, the foot can't say to the nose, I don't want to be part of the body with you. And the foot can't say, I want to be on the face. The foot's the foot. The nose is the nose. The ear is the ear. Sometimes we're just going to get put somewhere in the body that doesn't make sense to us. But what if God's God? What if God's goodness is while you're in a place that you feel like you don't fit, but God's put you there because the Bible says that's what he does, And in that not feeling like it works for us and being put there by him, we actually grow. We might have to work on a team with somebody. We actually find a little bit of a challenge because they're loudmouthed or opinionated or they smell or something. I don't know. It's like you just got some deal that makes it awkward. Don't be complaining about the deal. Ask God, what am I supposed to be learning about us in this? What is it? Because that's a good question to ask God. Not so much what's in it for me to learn, Lord? That's the second question. But the first one is, what is it about us that I don't get? And other people matter to God. Amen? So God's put you where he's put you. Okay, I think I've said plenty. But I'll say a bit more. Typical Peach preacher. Bit like that guy last night. I thought he's finished. I thought, praise God, he's finished. And then he started talking about fire. And I'm thinking, mate, you're having two sermons. That's like preaching 101. Bad, breaking the rules, man. You just creamed it. You did really well. And then, anyway, let me go there. So I want to say to this to you, just to summarize some of all of the last 10 minutes or so. I think we can look at our life with two views. One is, I'm an individual who chooses to be in this community. My focus remains me. This is the pattern of the world. In other words, I can walk in and I can walk out. That's got no correlation, in my view, to the kingdom of God. So the second view is, this community includes me as an individual, and my focus is the community. I want to say, if you're visiting this morning, straight up, I would say it's possible that God's up to something drawing you into the fellowship of a church like this. It's always possible because God's up to something. We get so excited when people visit this church, and we've had a lot of people visit our church this year, and I get really stoked about that. But what makes me really excited is that as we understand the us in that and more people join in the life and the community of this church, we become richer. We become more diverse. We become just better people to hang around with. Different opinions, different lifestyles, different priorities are all merged together, especially if we view it that it's God putting us together. It's God putting us in a place where we're valued and where we can contribute, but we don't expect that to happen because I can choose to. We do it because we value the community. I hope that difference makes sense to you. It makes sense to me. And if I'm not explaining it well, I do apologize. So seeing ourselves as belonging to one another is the key to seeing with sober judgment. John mentioned, I think, briefly before that it's Pentecost Sunday. And I got towards the end of this message and thought, oh, I didn't really focus on Pentecost Sundays, 50 days, 49 days since Easter Sunday. And Pentecost is the day in which the Holy Spirit fell. And I saw immediately, as I started thinking about this, the key. Pentecost Sunday is a day where we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the believers that were disheveled, discouraged, praying together, thank goodness, but kind of wondering what on earth is going to happen next. And the Holy Spirit was poured out. Peter gets up boldly in the presence of hearers and starts talking about Jesus Christ, Son of God, the one that you crucified. 3,000 people became believers that he is the Messiah that day. The church was birthed on that day. Pentecost is about the start of the church. I want to go back to a previous comment I made. It was a brand new creation on the earth. But it's not finished. It wasn't birthed, and that's like, let it be. From that moment on, the rest of the New Testament essentially is actually encouragement for people that have been filled with the Spirit, people who believe in Jesus, people who have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's actually a whole bunch of instruction about how to live together, about how to change your worldview from me, 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 to us, 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 us. And that's the guts of the rest of the Pauline and the Peter's epistle. All the letters that are written subsequent to the New Testament are to churches and to Timothy, but essentially to churches about how to make it work. And the key is consider yourself in sober judgment. And so we celebrate the outpouring of the Spirit as a starting point. We celebrate the ongoing outpouring of the Spirit on Pentecostal churches down through the centuries. It's a little bit weird for us to consider that there was probably about 1600, 1700, 1800 years where there isn't any real record, historical record, of there being outpourings of the Holy Spirit like happened at Pentecost, and that like happened toward the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century, and the Pentecostal churches as we know them reappeared on the planet. We live in a particularly unique season of church life, and I think that's accelerating. If yesterday's wedding service anything to go by, part of me read that as there's something big on the earth with God. And how good is that? Yeah, I think so. So Pentecost Sunday is a day we celebrate the events of Acts 2, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Beyond this incredible moment in time, the Bible works on us helping to do life together. So let me close by asking you to stand for a moment this morning. It is now this afternoon. Just wonder, as we come to the end of this day's time together in church, whether you're open to the possibility, as I am, have been, preparing this message and then delivering it, to ask God to forgive me for the moments that I've insisted that I've got a choice, when really I don't. I do have a choice and I can choose, but I choose to submit my life to Him. I choose to lay down what I want and pick up what He wants us to do, us to have, us to become. And so in that respect, I find myself very challenged about seeing myself with sober judgment. Because there are times when I stand in front of you all this morning and go, you know what? I just realized I made or said or have behaved completely and utterly self-centered. And it's been all about me, about how I feel, about what I want, about what I want to do. And I have felt, as I've prepared this message and delivered it, duly chastised by the Spirit of God. Bruce, lay that down. You're doing okay, son. You're on a journey. There's a whole lot about what you do that's about us. But there's remnants of I in you. And Lord, I felt like the Lord just challenging me to go, come on, lay some more of this off. Let's get some more of this I out of the mix. So if even in saying that in summary makes sense to you, can I just ask everyone to close their eyes for a moment if you haven't already? We're standing in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's so longing for us to get this. And maybe in this moment of quiet reflection, you're willing to concede that there's a lot of I going on in your own life. That could change and probably should change. If that's you right now, I just want you to acknowledge that before God. Have a moment of just conversation. Repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I revert back to the pattern of this world that is all about me. Help me, Lord, to live from this day forward conscious of living for the benefit of others, because I'm secure in who I am. Secure in the fact that you've placed me where you've placed me. I'm here at your hand, not mine. I'm here at your choice, not mine. And Lord, that you've selected us, you've decided to assemble us, Lord, and we're in the mix together according to your will and purpose. Pray, Lord, that we stay the course, we remain strong. Lord, when we get out of sorts, find the people we're positioned around, or the people leading us, obnoxious or demanding or difficult. that we'd be quick to consider the us implications of any change. We'd be quick to look at the us and go after that first and foremost. So breath of life, breathe on every one of us as individuals, that we'd be glued into the fabric of this community of faith according to your will and purpose. Father, that we would find ourselves absolutely strengthened. One thing about being surrounded by other people is you're surrounded, protected, safe. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray today that we would feel a sense of security, peace and safety in this community of faith, or the community of faith that we normally fellowship with, wherever that might be. Lord, I pray for Thomas and Neela today as they eventually go home to Belgium, that their time in this church and the other things they get up to in this country would set a fire off in the spiritual lives of the people back in their home country, around their family and their friends. I know, Lord, that their time here has been ordained by you to have fruit in that country down over the years ahead. This church has a heart for Europe. Lord, we're so excited to have had a couple come from Europe and fellowship with us. And I pray, Lord, that you would indeed use them mightily back home to bring about renewal, new life in parts of that part of the world that are spiritually very, very just worn out. And Lord, there's new life required. And I pray, Lord, these guys can go home and breathe that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Before we close and head off into coffee, lunch, and the afternoon, I just want to make sure we do ask this question before we close camp today. Talked about being part of the community. And you've got to actually make, this is one choice you do have to make. You need to choose Jesus to become part of the community. So probably about the only thing we do choose, say this carefully, but is to give our life to Jesus. It's a salvation moment. No one else can get saved for you. You've got to make that choice to receive Jesus by faith. But once that happens and he becomes Lord of our life, he's going to spend the rest of your life helping you to get glued into his body, the church. And that's a lifelong quest of patience, a lifelong quest of loving sometimes the unlovable. It's a lifelong quest of loving the lovable. It's a lifelong quest of celebration and joy and everything in between. So if you've never invited Christ into your life, in spite of everything else I've said today about it being about us, this moment is about you giving your life to Jesus, getting saved, becoming a brand new creation. But understand this, you are then sent immediately on a journey of becoming an us person. If you've never invited Christ into your life and you're in this meeting this morning, can I encourage you, don't put off a decision till another day. Make a decision today. I want to follow Jesus. If that's you, I need you to slip your hand up and say, that's me, Bruce. I actually want to actually move into a place of faith with Christ in my life. And though I know I'm going to need help to journey into the us bit, and I know we can help you with that. But I ask you to slip your hand up and say, that's me, Bruce. I'd love you to help me receive Christ. Pray for him to come into my life. We can do that really easily. That's the most amazing thing that can happen in this meeting today, is you giving your heart to Jesus. So anybody at all looking from my left across the middle to my right, just need to give me a big wave so I can see your hand if that's what you want to do today. Thank you, Lord. Well, Heavenly Father, I pray as we head out into the week ahead that we'd find ourselves in the contexts in which we operate, work, home, other places, that we would have a different perspective of how we fit, where we fit and what we do, how we contribute, what it is that we do that adds value, so that we can have more of us moments wherever we go, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.